Camera's not on. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
And Minnie Del Motto.
And I just give a thumbs up to a blank camera that's not recording, but now it is, so thanks, yeah. Darth Duck.
Yeah, thanks for the Twitch Prime sub there. We are without Chi today. She was not able to make it. So we're finally recording on a weekend again, which is nice, but this is technically Halloween weekend, so everybody was out in party mode last night, getting crazy. So some people are still recovering from that.
What were you doing last night?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I was going out to dinner with my girlfriend because it was her birthday a few days ago.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we were downtown. I saw all the... we were down there like maybe 6 o'clock, so they were just starting to creep out at that time.
Oh, yeah. You
know, things were just starting to get
going. People having fun.
Yeah.
Minnie's dressed as Superman.
Yeah.
I'm dressed as Muhammad Ali, and Bobby is dressed as...
Wolverine.
It's built in.
Always works. Yep.
Well, let me get this off my chest real quick. Fuck you, Emilio.
Okay.
Last week, you said I was meek.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
You motherfucker. How dare you?
Right, it's one of those things, like, right after you say it, you're like, ooh, that was a bit rougher than I made it.
You bitch.
And it's funny, because meek isn't a strong word, but I mean, yeah. Sorry, buddy.
Are you, though?
I mean, not really. From now on, anybody that subscribes to Twitch Prime, I'm going to punch Minnie in the shoulder. So...
It's like a game of slug bug.
Yep.
Well, we do have...
We'll see if he's meek or not.
We've got the Patreon giveaway that we promised with Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Who's our grand prize winner for that game?
And it had to be like the most offensive thing. Like, we don't try... Obviously, nobody gives a shit around here, right? But you want to go several minutes without being offensive. That way you get to... lure in the weak-minded, and then you hit them with the fucking vagina jokes.
You need some contrast.
Yeah. You can't be all shitty all the time.
Right.
Anyway, congratulations, Dr. Anus. you'll be getting a copy of Black Ops 4. I think we should do more Patreon giveaways. There's like a healthy number of them.
Yeah?
Yeah, so just $1 a month will give you a green name on Patreon. I mean, on Discord, and get you into these motherfucking things. So, there you go.
Can we explain how that went? You walked in the room, give me a number between 1 and 37.
Yeah.
I said 27, and you're like, not you,
yeah.
Bobby.
Well, I meant a computer.
Well,
a.k.a. Bobby.
Like, I didn't know who these numbers
maybe
were.
You, just... Right, but it doesn't work because, like, the newer ones would have been favored, I guess. Maybe not.
Oh, is that know. How it works?
Because yeah.
You just didn't want to give a new Patreon anything?
No. All right. By the way, fuck all new Patreons. Moving on. Just kidding.
Moving on. All right. On the radar. So games that have caught our attention recently. We've got quite a few of them here. If you want to recommend a game, you can do that in our Discord. And I think some of these are recommended by listeners.
Almost all of these are mine this week, actually.
That one that we were playing earlier, I can't wait, or showing earlier, I can't wait to talk about that.
Yeah, so there's this game called Pit of Doom, and they capitalize all Doom because it's a throwback to Doom, but it's a modern ARP roguelike. So it's not a roguelite. It comes hard with the roguelike mechanics. It looks like Doom 3-ish.
It does.
Right?
It looks Doom 2-ish, really. Oh, sorry, Doom 3-ish.
Graphics,
you're right.
Doom, yeah, Doom looks 3. Pretty good.
Yeah, but that's all I need to know. Like, I saw half of the video, and I was like, okay, I get that kind of action and I get the roguelike mechanics, then I'm already set. The reviews are good. It's only $10. I'll probably be playing this next week. I doubt there's a multiplayer. I didn't look too much into it, but yeah, I'm already sold. Bobby, any interest?
So this was, just released. Early access. I'm trying to see if it's multiplayer. Nope, single player.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it looks good.
Yeah.
I like the look of it. I like these throwback shooters. The whole roguelike thing, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I find I don't spend as much time. Like, if it had just been a standard campaign game, then I'd probably play it start to finish. But these roguelikes,
There is no start to finish.
Yeah.
That's the thing with roguelikes, most of the time.
And I like that they're doing it with first-person shooters, just like Ziggurat, just like Immortal Redneck. I like those games, but I just didn't play them that much. You kind of find your own end with those games. Like, you get to a point where you're like, okay, I get it. I've had enough.
Is it immortal or immoral?
Immortal.
But it is also immoral, yeah? Well, I guess not. You're killing
fucking demons. Is it immoral or amoral?
I don't know. You're asking a fucking spick over here. I don't know how to say things. I'm going to try to spell trough the other day. T-R-O-F-F. That's what I went with.
Huh. T-R-O-U-G-H.
I mean, phonetically it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, these graphics don't look half bad. I'm kind of curious as to what engine they're using.
If the roguelike mechanics are decent, then I think we might have a good game on our hands. It only has 19 reviews right now. Wait till they get that DLG gaming bump, though. It's going to take them right up to 32.
$10, I'd try this game. Now, this is developed by, where was it? Because they have it bundled with another game that I recognize. This is developed by Kerberos.
But what is that other game, Bobby? I can't read that from here.
Sword of the Stars. The Pit. Ossian.
That's the game that I thought this was.
Oh, because mm-hmm. it looks so similar?
No, actually it looks completely different, but just the name of it, for some reason I thought this was the game that you were talking about. That's why I asked you if it was new or old. This is a it's a roguelike. But
yeah, didn't you play this game, Emilio? I know I've played it, but very little of it.
I don't remember.
I think you'd like this one. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Dungeons of Dreadmore, just a little bit, but not much.
Which I love.
Yeah, Sword of the Stars, The Pit.
That's interesting. Do you have it, Bobby?
Uh-huh.
Before you go, please, let's set up the fucking family share. Because I checked today and I don't have
it. Oh, it's not working?
No, it's not working.
Okay. Do you have mine? Yeah, we'll set that up. What?
Do you have mine?
Yeah, I have yours. Okay. But too bad you only have 8 games.
I have 400. And
4 of those I gave to you.
400 is not a very big Steam library. But
you weren't so meek.
So 400 is not a big library. Wow.
Let's see. Identity is the next game.
Yeah, that came from, I think, Shadow Master? No, somebody. Anyway, it's interesting. It's an MMO already. We lost Bobby. No, that's not it.
I know. I'm browsing a different game. No, this is, I tried to look it up on Steam.
It's not on Steam. Yeah. I think they're developing it outside.
Well, I have to come back to this game now later.
This looks interesting. We could talk about this. Lost Identity.
Well, no, because it's 13. It's this game that I could never find that I played like back in 2005 or so.
Cel-shaded first person shooter.
Yeah, the cel-shaded one. And it was based off a comic book, I guess. And it was a pretty good like first person shooter game, but it's like nowhere to be found these days. And that was 13 Lost Identity, which looked like...
Well, let's go back to it. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Well, let me bring it up again. It looked like not a first-person shooter, though. It's $2, so I'm sure it's not.
It's a hunting, clicking game?
Adventure casual. Yeah, but it's based in the 13 universe, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's not as exciting as I initially thought. At first, I thought, oh, my God, it's 13. I'm going to buy that.
This might be a shooting game, dude.
No, it says adventure. It's like a point-and-click adventure game.
Oh, they're just clicking super fast, so it looks exciting. So it looks like I got to give kudos to the fucking intern that they said make the video, and he's like, I guess I'll just click really fast.
All right. So Identity, tell us about this game.
It is an MMO set in regular time, no magic, no nothing, from what I could tell. It's like you could... Basically, it's like Second Life, but here you need to like get a car, find out about transportation, pay your rent, get a job. And you could be anything from the businessman to a police officer to a gangbanger. And it's basically a real life simulator from what I could tell.
Okay.
Not something I'm into, but I could see a lot of people getting into it.
So how is this different from Second Life?
Did you have to do jobs in Second Life?
I don't know.
I thought you used real
money. Just go around and party?
Yeah, I thought so. Okay. This seems very more like a Earth simulator. But you play in the third person perspective, from what I could tell. Maybe you can play in first as well. Bobby's doing a lot of stuff, really throwing me off here.
I think the stream went down. He's restarting it.
Oh, okay. So anyway, not really for me, but I can see, I already said this, I can see how other people would be into it. Bobby likes to do menial tasks in games, not me so much. Like, I can only imagine leaving my bed, getting ready, going down to the basement where my computer is, and then getting out of bed and then getting ready. Like, what the fuck? That's too meta for me. What was my big point on this? This is a huge, gigantic undertaking. I do like that it's on an island.
Mm-hmm.
Because that keeps it from getting too fucking crazy. But, an undertaking like this coming from a unknown developer to me, I'm not saying unknown developer, but I'm just saying to me, that means something. That means you're not super famous.
Right.
It just seems like a gigantic undertaking.
Yeah, they don't have the budget or the manpower.
Right, yeah. And then that's why you get animations like that, which don't look, I mean, terrible, but, you know. You know, I was working in a...
So it is first person, third person.
Yeah, it looks like it switches back and forth.
Yeah.
You see how that hallway was super repetitive?
Yeah.
That, it was just, that happens in real life.
It was like a hotel hallway.
Yeah, and I was walking down one with my one of my assistants one time, and we were walking like, I don't know, 3 minutes, and it was just very repetitive. And he's like, dude, can you hold on? I was like, what? He's like, I'm getting dizzy. This is I was like, oh my God, you are fired right now.
When you say assistant, you mean Home Depot pickup, right?
No. It's actually one that spoke English. This
is he playing PUBG inside of the game?
Looks like it. Damn, that's pretty cool. I think it was just a video.
Okay. Yeah. So as we are talking about like monumental undertakings, before I forget, Star Citizen, that game just looks like it's trying to do everything that any game has ever done, and they're trying to put it all into one game.
Yeah, Citizen Con just came up again, right?
I don't know.
I think it was like
I don't know anything one. About this game, but I've seen like bits and pieces. I played a bit a long time ago.
Yeah.
And it's just like they're trying to do like first-person shooter, mining.
Dogfighting.
Dogfighting. And
general life.
Yeah, it's like it's like Eve with Call of Duty and Minecraft. It's just like everything.
That's one of the reasons to... I don't know. People are putting thousands of dollars. Maybe they are enjoying it, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say about that game. More on that later, maybe when it's like our last episode, it's going to be like, well, Star Citizen is finally done, but we don't have the funding to cover it. So bye, everybody. Like 17 years.
All right. Hopefully the stream is now working for those of you watching. Let me know if it's not. Next up, Return of the Obra Dinn.
So this comes from the people from Papers, Please, and it's getting really stellar reviews from everyone. Overwhelmingly positive on Steam. Everybody's giving it 5 out of 5, that kind of stuff. From what I could tell, it's very interesting. The graphics are very good, but they're in black and white. So it's like a 3D space. So this ship called the Obra Dinn disappeared. And you're the insurance adjuster that's supposed to reclaim. And one day, of course, it just comes into port with nobody on board. And then you go in, and I believe you can, for some reason, insurance adjuster powers, you can see what's happened in the past, and you put together this mystery.
Oh, wow.
And anyway, it looks fucking sweet, man. I don't know, like, sometimes you can see people that draw only with making dots. I don't know what that's called. But all they do is dot everywhere. That's what this game looks like, but really, really well done. And the dots are moving around, and they're making graphics. And for the most part, all you can see is still shots here. Not really my kind of game. I'm not into mysteries, but just the looks of this is almost like a selling point for me. But I know that I personally would get bored, but I would like to hear somebody else's account of this murder mystery thing, what happened to this ship. For sure.
Yeah, it looks like the people are made with the dots, and then like the geometry is made with like a wire. Oh, you call that wireframe? Wireframe models.
Wireframe? Is it Vox? No.
Yeah, it's got a very interesting look to it.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Haven't quite seen anything like this.
It looks like playing on an old Game Boy where like the screen was slightly green. It wasn't like quite black and white.
Or like that really old TIE Fighter versus X-Wing, like at the arcade.
It was all wireframe.
We're making it sound terrible looking, but
it looks really good.
It all comes together really nicely.
Definitely.
And the reviews, I mean, you can't fucking beat the reviews.
Overwhelmingly positive with 700 reviews.
Yeah, that's fucking good, especially right out of the gate.
I wonder if it's as challenging as Papers, Please.
Maybe it's... Who knows? Maybe it's more of a walking simulator, but however, whatever it is, it's working. Yeah. Bobby, any interest there?
Yeah, looks good. What's the price? $20?
Yeah.
Seems a bit steep, right?
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be on sale, but I mean, $20, I'd take a chance on this.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
The guy who made Papers, Please has some credibility, so I think it's safe to say it's a good game.
Can we see the time to beat on this?
Time to beat? Yeah.
Just curious.
We got the time to beat button, don't we?
We used to. None of our buttons are working.
No, I think this one is. We just used that one 2 weeks ago.
I think we're going to have to get a new tech guy.
Let's see. Return to Obra.
I don't know.
No results?
Just the Obra Dinn? No, it's not return
Return
to.
Of the.
Yeah.
There it is. There you go. Seven and a half hours.
Oh, yeah. It's longer than I thought. I was thinking like three or four.
That's $20 worth.
Yeah.
It's a good amount of time.
Yep. Under what circumstances did I call you Meek? I don't remember. What was I talking about?
She asked you to do an impression, and you're like, I don't know. He's Meek, and he just says, yeah, I agree, guys.
It's so true. Oh, wait. I'm just kidding.
The mic dropped this bitch.
Ooh, subprime.
What?
You can hit me if you want. There's a new prime.
Yeah. Oh, gigahertz, thanks for the prime or the subscription.
Yep.
So bad at calling those out. I've got to get my YouTube personality going when I do that. Regular human basketball. This game
looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
$5. I'm buying it just.
Yeah, just on the play the audio, alone. Please, Bobby.
All right, let me turn it up just a little bit here.
Named Bill. Do you learn, like me, Bill, to play basketball in the most regular possible way?
Of course I do, Bill. I long to climb inside a gargantuan baller and use switches to activate his movements in the completely standardized basketball way. As a regular human, I love many things.
So there's a giant basketball player comprised of spinning cogs and mechanical parts.
Yeah, and both computers in the trailer are called Bill, and they're talking to each other how they're playing totally regular human basketball, but it couldn't be any further from the truth.
Non-human.
Yeah, so if you ever played Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, or there was a... deeper. We need to go deeper.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 10 buttons and two people. So you got to run around and do that. This seems like it's maybe one person. It might be, I think it's multiplayer. So you could have two people in one of these giant robots and you're just trying to play one-on-one basketball. And it doesn't resemble anything close to basketball. And, it's fucking hilarious. It seems like these computers, like their last program before the humans died was telling them to act as human as possible. So this is where their program got stuck or something. I don't know. It seems ridiculous. I laughed out loud at this trailer.
It's pretty crazy. Like all these, would you call them mechs or something?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
They have these buttons like up, down, left, right, and maybe like
inside of dunk. Them. Yeah, so you play a little character inside of this giant basketball robot and you have to run around hit buttons to control them and try to score a basket. It almost looks like FumbleCore in a way.
And inside the chassis is kind of like a maze. You got to like navigate the maze while hitting the buttons.
It's an interesting concept.
Yeah, there was a thing.
Definitely there.
There was a thing where like there was paint coming down and the character inside of the belly changed color. I wonder if you can only change green keys when you're green and stuff like that. Because it looked like that's what it was going on.
Dude, I don't know, man. This is...
How much is this, Bobby? $5?
$5.
It's fucking bot, right?
It is blowing my mind. I don't know what's going on. The
soundtrack is...
Oh, there you go. There's a two bundle. Remember we were talking about that we never see that anymore?
Oh, yeah. That's just that in the OST.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, includes two items. I thought I meant two.
Yeah, you never see the two-pack, the four-pack, the three-pack, none of those.
Shit, I would spend $5 just because of the developer name. Powerhoof? God damn, they got everything going for them. Powerhoof, hit me up.
Oh boy. All right, there's your first oh boy of the podcast. Folks, check off the
bingo card.
Yeah.
Nobody won last week apparently.
Yeah,
we had some people get close.
Yeah, Cricket Soldier got really close. He like almost had the whole thing marked, but somehow just like everything else, we couldn't complete one fucking thing.
Yeah. Lethal League Blaze.
Yeah, so big fan of Lethal League.
Another game you're going to beat my ass at.
It's one of these games that not a lot of people know about, but it's really good. It's a four-player co-op. Weird game where you're kind of playing, what are you playing? Racquetball.
Yeah.
But instead of trying to get a volley going, you're trying to hit the other players with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get it going to insane speeds, like... Your eye can't track how fast it's going. You got to kind of guess.
Yeah, you have to get the timing down.
Yeah, and there's special moves where nobody knows how to activate them, but
yeah.
It does wacky things with the ball. Anyway, I'm a big fan of the original. Now there's a sequel. They added some characters. Graphics look better. A big selling point on this game has always been the music. The music was awesome, and the new music sounds even better.
Yeah.
Not better, but the same vein, but sounds good as well. Yeah, I mean, this is probably bought. It's $20, so like I'm kind of waiting for a sale, especially since our couch co-ops don't happen very often anymore. But this is almost a game where I'd want to go online and play it and see how I do. It's a fun game.
Yeah, it is a fun game, man. It's a high skill ceiling on this game. Like just understanding the timings.
I feel like I just mashed
the buttons. Yeah, Bobby just mashes the buttons and wins a lot of the time.
You just pick the alligator and smash that controller.
Back in the Street Fighter days when like we were playing at Nickel City, like and we had a little crew and we tried to take all the Street Fighter machines, there'd be certain people we'd call toasters. And they were like button mashers. And they would win sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just because, like, you don't know how to fight a toaster.
Right.
You know, it's just like they just come with... They're not playing by the rules.
Okay.
And then somehow they'll pull it off sometimes. And so that I feel that that's what Bobby does. But, you know, he beat us a lot.
So
on a controller game, it's the only shot I got.
Why yeah. toaster?
Because it's so random.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I thought there was going to be some meaning there, too, but okay. So the first Legal League, that's always a hit whenever we have people over and like we got a group of people to play something. This is always one of the ones that ends up sticking.
Yeah.
But $20 does seem like a bit much considering the first one was constantly part of bundles and on sales. You get that game for nothing. A lot of people playing this though. 1,200 people playing that right now.
That's really good.
Yeah. The reviews are overwhelmingly positive.
There you go, guys. There goes your next $20.
All right. Zero Caliber.
What is Zillow?
This is the VR shooter.
Oh, yeah. Man, graphics are nice. VR, I mean, this is what we were thinking about when people first were talking about VR, right? Like, you're talking about Call of Duty inside of 3D space.
Yeah.
Completely immersive. And according to the... Actually, I didn't see the reviews. I just saw a YouTube video, and I was, like, fucking sold. It looks great. The guy holds the guns a little weird, but I think he's doing that, right? Isn't he? You guys get the idea that he's doing that himself to get the sights out of the way?
Yeah. Well, I saw my buddy, he's playing this on live on stream and he had like a PVC, pipes that I think he built himself that he like put the things onto, like he was holding a real gun so he could like use,
stabilize it. Nice.
Yeah.
That's sweet. It looks awesome. My only reservation about this game is the movement. Obviously, he's not teleporting around. Mm-hmm. So how are they moving? Do you know?
No, but
because it looks like, you know.
But he was able to control his movement 100%. So I'm sure there's like a maybe you just move forward.
Maybe there's a button on the controller.
Maybe I'm thinking. I would assume there'd be like just one button, and you only move forward. Because I don't remember seeing him sidestep or anything like that.
All right. Well, this is one of the biggest problems that VR has, and I don't know how they solve it here. It looks like you can mod your weapons. And I did like that they went with the more. It almost looks like they're playing in paintball fields, and that's fine. It's not about where you're doing it. It's about whether or not it feels right. And these videos really make it look like it feels right.
Yeah.
Even looking down the scope. We don't cover VR very often because we don't have one anymore, but this would like already be bought if we had one. So
yeah.
Well, what does this cost, Bobby?
You can only get the demo right now. It doesn't come out till November 9th.
Good for them.
They have no price on it. So yeah, coming out soon. But the demo is available. Co-op, online co-op, multiplayer, online multiplayer. A lot going on here. Wouldn't be surprised if this is, VR games are usually a little bit more expensive.
Yeah. But and rightfully so.
It looks really good, man.
It looks really good. It looks exciting.
Yeah.
Looks like the future.
Yeah, it was cool. He was like able to like mod out his gun, like change out sights. Like he could put like a rifle scope on an SMG and like he actually like picks it up and puts it on.
And it looks like one of these games where like the scope works through actually raising it up to your eye and putting a button.
Exactly.
And so, and I wonder what like percentage of people out there have actually looked through a gun scope. That's exactly how it works. Like it's not easy. You don't just put your eye to the scope.
Yeah, you got to get the perfect angle.
Yeah, you got to get a perfect angle. So like, if they pull that off in VR, I mean, it's only more realistic. Even though it might seem like a mechanic. Yep.
All right. Next up, Just Cause 4.
Yep. So I've been silently wishing and waiting for this game. It looks awesome. I've read so many good things about it. It's funny because I've never played. I mean, I touched two a little bit, and three, like, the price doesn't come down. So I'm waiting on this fourth one. You know, you play as a Mexican guy that just wrecks shop. You know, he's like over the top character. The whole game's over the top. It's one of these things where it's like a physics simulator with a slight dash of a story just for the hell of it. It's a game where you can, like, well, originally you had a grappling hook, so you could grapple the target car and a random car together, and they would just rotate and crash into each other,
right?
Because you just attach those two. So that kind of physics things, but they're taking it to part four. They got to take that shit to the next level. So now you can attach like a bunch of balloons to whatever you want and they'll just fly. Like right now he's running, boom, takes off.
Oh yeah,
he's good. So stuff like that. And then now there's randomly generated non-scripted weather events, really big ones like tornadoes. It'll come up in a little bit here, but right now they're showing off how the ultra wide screen, there's a new level of ultra wide. I don't know what it's called. It's like even bigger than whatever it is. So they're saying that they have support for that. So that's why this looks so long, elongated right there. And it's such a bummer when something new comes out and doesn't have ultra wide support. I think somebody, not that it's new, but I think Beirut was talking about how Fallout 4 doesn't have native support, and I was really surprised by that.
That is surprising.
Yeah, but you know, there's 18 mods probably that fix that. Right. Okay. So right here, this is pretty cool. So the tornado's going on.
Tornado.
Yeah, huge. It goes all the way up to the ceiling. To the sky. But at a certain point, he's just standing there, like at the bottom of the tornado, and just activates his wingsuit, and he's like, "Oh, I'll just use the current to just take off." And seems pretty sweet. Like right there. He's like, fuck it. I'll just use this as an escape vehicle.
That's anyway. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. I just want to play it for the sandbox portion of it. So I'll probably be paying the full price for this when it comes out.
So why are Mexicans in games like the protagonists? They're always just a little crazy.
Because I'm fucking crazy, dude.
They just can't have like a, hey, I'm Mexican, but I'm also a normal person.
No.
I mean, is anybody normal in video games, though?
No, Mr. Griffin, no. We got to have something going for us.
Just Cause 4. I feel like Just Cause 3 has been on sale or part of Humble Bundles. I've seen that for cheap. I may even have it. I don't know. I have to check my library.
I'm watching this thing called, I think it's called Fight Life on Netflix. It's the guy, you guys probably wouldn't know who he is. Anyway, it's a guy who's going around the world and involving himself and training with different fight cultures around the world. And episode one started with a Mexican boxer. Not a Mexican boxer, but boxing in Mexico and why it's so famous and like why Mexican boxers do well and all of this. And same thing happens in MMA. We don't have technique. We don't have basically anything going for us. We're not super strong. We're not none of that. But we will walk forward like a crazy motherfucker. And I think that maybe that's how it bled.
Unpredictable.
No, it's predictable. Yeah. We just walk forward and don't get knocked out. It's so hard to knock out a Mexican. Watch. There's like if you could statistically, we have thicker heads or something. I don't know.
Take a few shots before.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some games that we have been playing. Mario Party. Finally got that in, right?
Yeah, man. Played four full games, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's an hour each time.
Yeah.
One thing you have to take away going, first of all, fun as shit. It's just, you know, it's the ultimate party game. It's fucking Mario. Four player max, that was kind of a bummer, especially since each Switch comes with two controllers. So, like, if a third person with a third Switch comes up, you have six controllers. It's easy. It's easier than any other like console ever before because everybody just comes with two controllers and you only need one console to play the game. But anyway, hopefully maybe in a later update, but I doubt it because all the games are, you know, set up for four. If you play with three players, then they put a bot in. So that's how much you really need four players. But they do it really well. And one of the takeaways here is I always kind of prided myself at winning at at Mario Party all the time, but that's not fun for anybody else. And now it's really, really been...
Is it Mario Party 4 or is it Super Mario
Party? Super Mario Party.
Yeah. Super Mario Party, okay.
It's really been spread out, the skill amounts, and like I don't win the mini games, and I'm the best gamer
yeah.
with the people that I'm playing with, and not just one set of people. I've played with three sets of people, and Mr. F and Sweet was playing, and he would win too, but it was all smattering. You can't take it seriously. The entire thing is arbitrary. The most high drunk guy won all the minigames.
So they've kind of evened the playing field.
By far.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah. And not a whole lot of them are like reflex built based. And not all of them are button smashing. Actually, there's only one button smashing game that I've seen. And it's not really a minigame. It's kind of like a sub minigame. And let's see. Sam won both first games that we played. Even though she started in last place at going into the last round. So, like, you know, there's all kinds of shit that just mixes things up. You can't take it personally. It's all arbitrary, but it's still fun as shit.
Yeah. This game is like the Monopoly of the gaming world. It can ruin friendships. I feel like
there's a lot of strategy.
No, I mean, like, as in ruining friendships. Like, you get pissed off.
I don't think so. Because it's so nice to look at the whole time. You're just like, okay. Like, I'd rather just start up a new game and hope that the RNG works in my favor than bitch about this game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I'm going more towards the older Mario Party, so I don't know about this new one.
Oh,
this
gotcha.
New one might be different.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's more of the same, but it's done really, really well. Every time you play, you're unlocking in-game currency that you use to unlock like new boards and shit like that.
Okay.
Are these just cosmetic, or are they actually new maps?
New maps.
Oh, that's cool.
Two of the three are really good. One of them I didn't like too much, but I only played it once. Actually, it's pretty bad. But there's things like this, like grab all the pancakes you can. And some of the pancakes have stars in them, so they're worth 5 pancakes.
Oh.
So what? Like who picks up the pancake on top of the 5-star one? Like, why? So you got a bunch of hands hovering around that star.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, somebody else is just grabbing one star pancakes. Like boom, 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 boom. Stacking up their pancakes, you know? Anyway, it's a fucking great game. It might be my favorite game on Switch. Yeah, probably. So it's a fucking really good time. If there's one downside, I would say the getting into the game and the loading phase. And not loading. It's not loading times. It's just... explaining everything every time, but maybe that's
there's no way to click through that,
not to my knowledge, but we'll see.
Yeah, that can kind of kill the flow of the game. We ran into a bit of that with Party Panic last week, where after the match, the you know, saying who was the winner, took a little longer. And after you've seen it a couple times, you're over it and you just want to get on to the next turn. So, yeah, that can kind of break the flow of the game
for sure.
So, I just noticed that on that screen, they had like two switches. Like two Switch screens that they paired together?
Yeah. And so you can get if you don't know, you end up with basically a rectangle. And you can put those rectangles together in any assortment you like. Mm-hmm. And then you run a physical line with your finger through them.
Okay.
So the switches know where the connection point is.
Right.
And then it'll make a maze based on how you put that together.
That's pretty cool.
How sick is that, dude? But they didn't take it up to this... 3 and 4 Switch.
Yeah.
I can imagine like it'd be exponentially.
Oh,
more
yeah,
difficult.
I'm sure.
But it's great.
Cool. All right. JD Constriction, thanks for the. Dude, we're getting a lot of subscriptions this week.
We're fucking awesome, Bobby. As soon as you realize this and put our t-shirts on, it's going to go a lot more smooth.
What are you talking about? The t-shirts are up.
That's true.
Okay, what else we got to talk about? I raided for the first time in WoW.
Woo!
Hey, I'm not going to bore you with all the stories.
Like, first time ever in the history of your time in WoW?
Oh, no, I haven't raided in, like, 10 years, though. Okay. So, it was, and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I hadn't researched it. Someone was just like, hey, we're raiding. I'm like, I'm in. And then I'm just like on YouTube, like in my other window, trying to figure this shit out as I'm being dragged along. But fortunately, there are some people who really knew what they were doing. I was a little overgeared for it. It was just the heroic raid, so it wasn't very challenging. Although I didn't get any upgraded gear. I got like 3 drops, none of them an upgrade. So it's kind of a wash, but it was good, a good experience.
Yeah. How'd you do, like, scoring-wise?
Like, damage-wise? Because I played DPS. Pretty good. I mean, I was putting out pretty good damage. Like I said, I was a little overgeared. Even flashed for it, so, you know.
Even what?
Food and flasks. When you go into any sort of dungeon, but flasks are like 2,000 gold a piece, so it's like, if you use it.
Negligible?
No, 2,000 gold. I mean, to me, that's a lot. Yeah, because I spent all my money on pets. I got no money none of the time. And then I found out, oh man, I made a dangerous discovery here. I found out that on my other account, it's on a different server with a much higher population, and pets are a lot cheaper over there. So I'm like trying to figure out ways I can get gold to my other account so I can buy them in that auction house. Yeah. But that's all that's going on with me. The only other thing that I've been doing, we recorded like Tuesday, so it's been a while.
Oh yeah.
But,
it hasn't been long.
Yeah. We haven't had much time. But the other thing that I've been doing this week, finally, Castlevania Season 2 has come out on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Now this isn't, it's animated like anime, mm-hmm. which I'm not a huge fan of, but I watched the first season and I kind of got into it. And the second season, it's moving a little slow. I'm only 3 episodes in. It feels like it's going a little slow, but I'm enjoying it. It's good.
Yeah.
It really paints the Catholic Church in a negative light. But, you know, it's good. Hey, did you watch the first season?
I have not.
Okay. Seems like something you'd like. Did you play, Castlevania, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of experienced it vicariously through my neighbor who was really, really into it.
Yeah.
But right away I was just like, yeah, this is not the game for me. What the hell is this?
He has some eye.
That is way too much eyeliner, dude.
Yeah, eyeliner, definitely.
Yeah, trying to just bring up an image of it there. But yeah, it seems cool, and I think it kind of coincides with the game. And I haven't played a Castlevania game since like the original one with the Nintendo.
Oh,
so
wow.
I don't really know the whole story there.
Yeah.
But basically, Dracula is trying to take over the world.
Yeah.
And you got to stop him. I mean, it's not all.
You got to go into his castle and flush him out.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You watched the first season, right, Amelia?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. So second season's out, 8 episodes.
Wasn't there some sort of twist? It wasn't just straight up. It was like, I don't remember.
It's in good the first way. Season?
Yeah. Am I off? Was it just straight up bad guy, got to kill the bad guy?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
I mean, there's a lot of, you know what, there's a lot of that makes it feel like it's going slow. There's a lot of like almost political intrigue, you know. They really get into like the war generals of, you know, Dracula's minions and their like squabblings and fighting amongst themselves and their backstories. And there's just like a lot of, it's a lot of melodrama and you're kind of but then it gets super violent. Like they're hacking people up and there's lots of blood.
Yeah.
And that seems to be a little more sparsed out in this new season, but I'd like a little bit more of that.
You have 3 recommendations now. You have him, me, and Barabbas all talking about Voltron.
Yeah.
Check it out.
It's really good.
It's good.
It's funny, dude. It's Voltron? Really funny. Yeah, the Voltron's new Voltron. Really
I just never watched Voltron before, so I don't know.
It doesn't matter. It's a reboot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. So what have you guys been playing this week? Well, speaking of vampires, someone's been playing Vampire the Masquerade.
Right, Bloodlines. Yeah. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines. Man, I've been sleeping on this game. I think everybody's heard about this game.
It's an old one, right?
It's, yeah, from like the mid-2000s. Like maybe
well, it's one of those games that people always talk about as being really underrated.
Yeah.
Like it comes up all the time as like one of the most underrated games.
Right. Half-Life 1? Am I right on that?
No, this is a standalone game made by, God, I can't remember. Whatever, doesn't matter. Really good game. It's a Western RPG, action RPG. So Vampire the Masquerade, you're trying to uphold the masquerade that vampires don't exist in the world.
Mm.
But you're going around doing like your vampiric deeds. So it's I really like this RPG style. It's actually making me want to do side quests and stuff because it's not giving me, like, right off the bat, it doesn't give you a monumental task. Like, I don't have to save the world or I don't have to save my baby. It's just like, hey, I got some things for you to do. Go do it. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. I mean, it seems like I'm actually making an impact on the world without trying to save the world.
Who are the bad guys? Are they vampires that are trying to fuck up the masquerade?
There's three clans, and you don't know who the bad guys are. Mm. So you're part of, like, kind of off the bat two clans. You're just trying to figure out, like, what clan you should go with. But when the game starts up, you have, like, six different vampire races you can be. You can be, like, your regular brawler vampire that you see, like, in a lot of vampire movies. And they have, like, the mage vampire that can, like, control minds. And then they have the Nosferatu.
But
and
probably more physically weak, I would guess.
Yeah, they okay. are. The Nosferatu, they're, like...
That's the one that looks like a bat.
Yeah, right? they're like, the more demonic-looking vampires. And they got these psycho vampires that, like, they hear voices in their heads and shit. And they're just crazy. But there's so much to do. The tasks that they get you on.
Tasks,
yes.
It's a weird word.
Yes. You can go about them different ways. There's like stealth, subterfuge, or just go in and smash skulls. Like every way, every task they give you, you can just take it on your own terms.
Cool.
Yeah.
So my experience with Vampire the Masquerade was always like from when I was playing Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
And they'd have the tabletop for like Warhammer 40K.
Mm-hmm.
And then there'd be one half table dedicated to these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Always gothed out.
The super nerds.
And loving it.
Yeah.
You know, they love this.
I've never played the tabletop, but yeah.
What brought you to this?
A friend of mine, he's like, dude, you got to try Vampire. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And like weeks and weeks and weeks, like, dude, this game is just keeps getting better.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And
you're in.
I'm loving it.
So I would imagine for something like, are you playing on Steam?
Yes. Oh, no. A GOG, because I got the Steam, didn't work so well.
Okay.
So
how much is it?
GOG, $20.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah. I mean, for an older game, but it's a long game. And the replay value, like, there is a high replay value because each vampire race plays the game differently.
Cool. The other thing I was curious about, I would imagine something that was, you know, I'd call this a sleeper hit,
mm-hmm.
right?
I'd say so, yeah.
There must have been some mad mods for this.
Yeah, there is a mod. There's like a main, like fan-made mod.
Okay.
Which is...
Fixes all the bugs.
You need to have that from what I hear. And I haven't played without it, so I wouldn't know. But yeah, you need to have it.
I would imagine... See, the first thing that I would look at that one, mm-hmm. it would be a graphical one.
Yeah.
Not because they're... I mean, it's pretty bad, but... Not because I can't play something like this, but why not play something prettier?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
It doesn't cost you anything.
A graphic overhaul definitely helps.
Well, the game came out in 2004, so there's obviously going to need to be some mods to run it at higher resolution.
Yeah.
Have you ever hung out at the... what is the one that does all the mods?
Oh, Nexus?
Nexus mods. Yeah. Have you ever used them?
I think that's where I got the mod for this one.
Oh, gotcha.
Nexus, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt you. You're already in those files.
Yeah, exactly.
Get a couple more.
Yeah, it's the way that this game works is like you don't get experience for killing people. You just get experience for completing a task. And it's like really low amounts. Like you get one experience for a completed task. Or if you complete a task with like a special...
win condition?
Yeah, exactly. They'll give you more experience. But it's like very small amounts. It's not like hundreds of thousands of experience.
I love that, dude.
Yeah.
I love that.
And each experience
Yu-Gi-Oh! Point is fucked like, the world up, dude. It was that's like where it started.
Million experience or something?
Yu-Gi-Oh! Is like, I attack you for 21,000 points.
Yeah.
It could have been
21.
But they're just trying to make it sound better than
like a bigger
Pokemon.
Hit.
Yeah. Because Pokemon was hitting for like 15, 14, stuff like that. Fucking asshole.
I highly recommend it, though. Really long game, a lot of replay value.
Can I take a shot in the dark here? I think Bobby might... Yeah?
Yeah, it's just a long game. I think that's why I never got into it. So it's an RPG. It's not a first-person shooter. It's a little slower paced.
But it does have like that element first-person shooter. The shooting isn't great, but it's there.
There's action.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Yeah, I've never even tried to play this game. I just know it's going to be like a little bit of effort to, first of all, get it running correctly because of the technical problems and it being so old.
Yeah, if the GOG version ran easy.
Yeah, they usually do.
The scene was crap.
That's what they're famous for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Steam sometimes eventually will get to the point where they'll make a game playable. It happened with Dark Forces 2. The Steam version just didn't even run on Windows 7 and up. Just flat out didn't work without you getting in and like digging around and messing with things and doing way more than the average person should do after they purchased a game. And the GOG one just ran. But eventually Steam did fix that.
You know what? I'm starting to get locked out of games now that I used to play but no longer have Windows 7 support.
Oh.
So, like, they made an update.
Wait, I thought you were going to upgrade because of...
I was going to.
What was the game?
No, it was a GoPro. The GoPro.
Oh, the GoPro, but you still haven't.
I still haven't, and I probably will. I just haven't been home a lot recently. Don't look at me like that.
All right. I have been playing a lot of old... Well, I haven't played a lot of anything. I haven't had any fucking time until yesterday. I had like 5 or 6 hours of pure gaming goodness. And guess what I did? I played fucking Elder Scrolls Legends and watched Making a Murderer 2.
Well, they just came out with a new update, right?
Who?
Elder Scrolls?
They're updating every day because it's so bad.
Okay. Well, wasn't there a big one?
Yeah, there was a big one, and it was fucking... Well, they transferred studios that was managing it, and it's It was really, really bad. Oh, see, the recent reviews, mostly negative.
It's like I got review bombed.
It's fucking... Well, can you call it review bombed if it's like...
If it's really bad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Legitimately bad.
It's legitimately terrible. But now it's actually playable. It's still not good, but it's playable. It looks prettier than it used to, but it runs. It's playable. Well, that's it. 2 weeks ago, it was not playable.
Well, like 4 months ago, it was like a well...
Really well... polished, beautiful game.
So what happened?
They, for some reason, Bethesda decided to go with another company.
Oh.
And I don't know, I get it. Like, you get this giant thing with a million moving parts, and you're like, okay, this is yours now. And they come in with all their ideas that they had proposed in the meeting, and they were like, we're going to change this, this, and this. And Bethesda's like, yeah, it sounds good. But it's way, until you see the code, you don't know how hard those changes are going to be.
Right.
So they did all the changes, and now they're dealing with the bugs.
So it's actually broken. Like,
it was broken.
Okay.
It's now playable. So I was playing yesterday. But that's not what this review is about. It's about Making a Murderer 2. I thought no way was I going to get sucked into the second season. There's no way. It's pretty much public knowledge that the guy did it, and there's no more. And then they hit you with the first fucking episode. They're like, they address themselves, Netflix doing the documentary and how monumental that was.
I don't know anything about this. What?
Oh, it's a documentary about somebody that was wrongly accused.
Okay.
And it was huge, dude. You haven't heard about this like 2 years ago? Probably? No. It was gigantic.
You've definitely seen parodies of it.
You had to. Yeah, there's another mockumentary called, what's it called, Bobby?
American Vandal?
American Vandal. That's just a mock of this documentary. That's how big that was.
I mean, it's kind of a mockumentary of documentaries. Of all criminal documentaries. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because Making a Murderer might have been like the first big one, but I feel like there's been a lot of them. Or maybe they all came after, just trying to be copycats. Kind of Serial, the podcast Serial, was like that too.
Yeah.
Where you take a true, like a real life event, and you create this whole documentary. Yeah, and you're presenting all the facts, but you're doing it in such a way that makes it a little more cinematic. There's a little more authorship from the director, you know, to make it a little more appealing to the audiences. But in the end, you can't ultimately make
you can't
wrap everything up. Yeah, you omit things and then you bring it in later. Okay, there's a It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia episode that just surmised all this perfectly. Like where you show evidence at a later date that changes things, and then like it keeps people hooked. But then you get to the end of it, and this is what happened with Serial. You get to the end of it and there's no answer because it's a real life event. Real life events don't always have like a concrete definitive answer at the end, and all the loose ends aren't typed up or aren't tied up. So you end up with being, I don't know, a little dissatisfied with it, but hey, that's life.
Did you watch it, Bobby? Making a Murder?
No.
Okay. So it was a phenomenon. I would say that much. It was one of the things that made Netflix. It was that and Stranger Things were like the first big breakout things. Yeah. House of Cards. Maybe. Anyway, those were like the really big ones. Anyway, season 2, 2 or 3 years later, and I'm like, well, it's pretty, yeah, we know the guy, blah, blah, blah. And then first, I love how they broke the first fourth wall. It's a documentary, but they still did. And they addressed how big the phenomenon was for the first half of the thing and how much Netflix itself affected the entire case and how like everybody was getting death threats from Netflix watchers.
Wow.
Because like, how could you put this person in jail? Because he's obviously innocent and going to rape your daughter and all this shit. And he's reading the things online. And that's not what hooked me. What hooked me was, and this is no spoilers, the best... Probably the best, if not one of the best, lawyers in the country that does gets people exonerated came on the case. And she, you know, she get, so you're already in prison, you're already guilty. She's the number one person in the U.S. that comes in afterwards and gets you out. And she comes in with this like preface that like, she's like, if you're guilty, I'm going to find out and I will present that to the case and you're going to do double the time. Like, do not call me unless you're actually fucking innocent.
Yeah.
And you believe her right off the bat. And he won her over and here we are. And I'm fucking, I watched 5 or 6 hours of it yesterday.
It's
so good. Riveting. Anyway.
Wow. Netflix.
Yep. Good wrap up on that one, Bobby. What else are we at?
Valkyria Chronicles 4. I've been playing that. Just
you covered it before, didn't you?
No.
Okay.
What is it?
4.
Yeah, 4. So yeah,
don't get it twisted, Bobby. It's not one of the other three.
No, because I talked about Valkyria Chronicles 1 a while ago.
So this one just came out maybe less than a month ago. This is it's just continuing on the series of games that are on Switch and PC. This game is really good. Bobby, you play the Valkyria Chronicles?
No, that's a game that I always wanted to play. I think I even have it installed, and it's like it's marked in my Steam library as like need to start.
Yeah,
and I remember it because my buddy had it on the first PlayStation or second PlayStation or whatever, yeah, like way back in the day. It was a popular game, but it was the first time I ever remember seeing that turn-based combat.
And right.
I'm sure that was in games before, but for me, this was like the first time I ever saw a turn-based combat.
This one did it really well, for sure. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's kind of like a fictional European World War II storyline, and mm-hmm. it centers around actually a lot of characters. There's like 3 or 4 characters that are that really make an impact on the story, but the game itself is kind of like a third-person XCOM. It's not grid based, but you have like a certain amount of stamina you can move.
Well, I called it turn based combat, and that's probably the wrong word. Tactical RPG. Yeah, just like,
well,
like
it is, XCOM. It is turn based.
Yeah, it is
your team goes and their team goes.
But it's all like, you know, you move your characters like chess pieces, and you have certain action points and they have certain abilities.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you just control the one tank?
There is the tank, and then you control everybody.
The entire battalion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You control everybody. Yeah,
it's just like XCOM, or what are those other ones? Shadowrun.
Yeah. So this one has like
But not just like it, right? What's different about it?
Well, it's a third person. Yeah, it's third person.
So every time you move somebody, it has a chase camera?
Yes.
That's what makes it different? It's not a top-down like chessboard?
Yeah.
So exactly. You don't know what the enemies are doing?
If you have eyes on them, like every time you end your action, it goes to a top-down like a map where you can see where they are.
As long as you have line of sight.
If you have line of sight, exactly, yeah.
Sounds really good combat.
It is.
So what's the selling point? Is it the combat, or is it the story, or the combination?
Well, the combat is amazing. The story is...
Something you get through to get more combat?
The story's really good.
Oh, okay.
No, it's like they really emphasize everybody in this war that you play as has a backstory. Like, even the people that aren't big, like, there's 3 or 4 prominent characters in this game, and then you have just, like, your foot soldiers, and every one of them has a personality. Damn. They have a backstory, and if you play them more, you can read more on how they came into the war. And
this sounds awesome.
Valkyria has been known for that. They really go in depth with every character. Like right there, that's the 4 main characters you see in that picture.
What about the dog? He's not a main character.
He's a Dogecoin.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a hat and some gear.
No, he comes into the game later and he helps you out. Not much on the story yet.
There's no backstory on him.
Not yet. There may be. I'm sure there is. Because like there's like this one girl who just like she wears like an armored mask. And you don't really know anything about her, but if you play as her more, it'll tell you like why she wears that mask and who she is, where she came from. And everybody has like kind of like a sob story type thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's really good. Like the combat is you pick one character with your command point, and that person has like a certain amount of stamina. They can get to where they need to go and try to take cover, and then use their action to attack. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
So the dog's got a bottle around his... I'm focusing on the dog here. Okay. That's all I'm saying. The Shiba Inu. He's got a bottle around his neck, mm-hmm. you know, like a St. Bernard with the whiskey.
Right.
But what is that? Is that like a crystal or a light bulb?
It's called Ragnoid something. It's basically a healing potion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
By the way, perfect pausing skills, Bobby. That was awesome.
It was. And, well, there's different classes. They have, like, the assault class. It's, like, heavier on armor with a machine gun or more of an assault rifle. A scout class, light armor with, like, a M1 Garand. They can run really far. Snipers. They got lancers that are, like, anti-tank. They have, like, rocket launchers. And then a grenadier, which is basically a mortarman.
Do you control the dog?
Not yet.
We're focused on the dog here.
Yeah.
Bobby, what's this getting on Steam?
I'm sure great. Very positive.
Very positive. Doesn't seem like a whole lot of people playing it. First of all, no. $53.99 on sale right now. Usually $60.
It's a $60 game.
I noticed earlier you can get Valkyria Chronicles, the first one, for $6.79. So that one costs next to nothing.
And I would recommend getting that one. If you're not sure about it, get the first one. Because this is pretty much the same
which
thing.
Which I've heard still holds up. Oh, I mean, they just released it on Steam a couple years ago.
Yeah, it still holds up, definitely. This is basically the same game. It's just like better graphics and a little more in-depth. A few new classes.
What'd you pay on Switch?
$60.
Yeah, there's like no sales. Oh, well, no, there are, like, sales, but yeah, it's fucking...
They don't have sales on AAA titles.
And did you pay the $20 for the year online?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Have you played those old retro games on that?
No.
Oh, yeah, they have some like retro games like Mario 3, Mario 1, Donkey Kong.
I flashed my...
I don't know about that.
NES.
Oh, the NES, right?
The NES Classic, and I have 800 games on there.
Okay.
But it's just like, there's so many that it's just like, I don't even...
These are like concentrating on like the best games that NES had.
Yeah, I mean, it looks fucking great.
Yeah, it's
can't awesome say it game. Doesn't.
But yeah, again, if you're on the fence, buy the first one, because you're going to like it, I promise you.
Cool. All right, let's talk a little news here.
All right, let me interject real quick. You were getting into XCOM 2, and then you fell off?
Yeah. No reason. Still, I was having fun with that game.
Did you beat it?
Nope.
Well, you played it a lot, though, right? You must have got pretty far in it.
Not. I mean, I played a lot, but I didn't get far.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One does not equate the other in that game.
All right. First up in the news, Forza gets a route creator.
Yeah, it's not a huge update, but, you know, you can... Before this, when you were making your own maps for your friends to play, you could just pick something that was already pre-generated and then add the music and what car they could use. Now you could actually make the route from point to point, including where the checkpoints are on the route. And you do it by doing this. You just drive. And you just click where you want the checkpoints to be.
Oh, okay.
And you can make some crazy, you know, because it's an open world.
Yeah.
You can just do whatever the fuck you want. Go through houses, whatever you want. So I thought it was a really nice update.
So you're just making the route. You aren't adjusting the map in any way.
No, correct. Hmm. But you don't need to because it's a huge
it's just an open world.
Yeah, it's an open world, so you can do whatever you want.
Is this like a workshop thing where you can share it with other people?
Yeah, so your friends will probably be able to see what you have made and be able to race it. And, you know, you could probably add things on there on, like, what cars you can admit. Right there, that was a nice addition, how wide apart the checkpoints are.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool, too. So I'll probably play that at some point this week and get back to you guys on that.
Cool.
Although I'm not huge. Are you guys huge on like level creation and stuff?
No, I used to be when I was younger because I tried really hard and they just all became shit. So I stopped trying.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool when they put that stuff in there, depending on the tools they give you. Like the game Doom had some level creation tools that weren't very good. But it's cool when a developer gives you those tools to create your own stuff. And the reason I really like it is because someone else out there has the time and the ability to make something really cool.
Exactly.
So if it's a workshop thing and there's like a rating system, you just find the best stuff. And then, you know, all of a sudden, that's good for the developer or the publisher, too, because it gives the game a little more longevity. It keeps people playing.
I remember it was one of the big selling point, not the selling point, but like a nice perk on... what was it? Portal 2, like people being able to make their own maps. And the one that I really remember was somebody made a gigantic Plinko machine, like a gigantic one, like 300 stories high.
Wow.
And you could kind of affect the ball as it was going with your gravity gun.
Oh, yeah.
It was fucking cool, man.
It is cool.
Yeah.
They didn't have that when the game first came out, though. It took a while.
Yeah. And like... we played it, you know, relatively soon after it came out. Mm-hmm. I bet it's just samurai sword, fucking beautiful, hammered down through the years, the best shits at the top for sure right
now. Yeah.
Like the top 10 are probably better than the original game or whatever.
Yeah, I can do that.
Could you imagine? I don't even know where I would start making a map for a two-player game. Like, it would break my brain trying to make, to think about two perspectives while I'm making a world where I can't even make a world for one player.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I definitely understand. I've tried to do the same thing with Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 way back then. I mean, that seems easy, but it just turned out to be dog shit.
that's a skateboard game, not portals and being able to, like...
Well, you got to play a lot of the game to understand what makes a good map, and then you can make your own map. I haven't been so into a game. I'm sure I've talked about it before, but Dark Forces 2, I made maps for that game.
You just mentioned it 10 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, so. I try to work it in at least three times a
month. It's going to come up later, too, because somebody's favorite game of all time.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, you tried to make one, right?
No, I did make. I made several maps for that.
Were they played?
Yeah, they got played. And my third one, man, I really wish that I would have finished it, but I kind of lost interest in the game, like, in the middle of developing it. But it was definitely, like, my magnum opus. Like, all the stuff that I'd learned from the other one. Mm-hmm. And you'd learn things because you'd bring people in, and you're like, oh, that's how they interact with it. That's what they do with it. But it was all about, you know... With the old first-person shooter games like that, it was all about putting the really good guns in really difficult spots, like spots that would put you at risk.
Yeah.
So there was high risk, high reward. And then also putting secrets around the map.
You physically lost the data on that, right?
No, Bobby? It's out there. Yeah.
No. On the third one that you were working on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember one years ago, you were like, I can't find my...
I wish I still had that. Because... I had also found this program that allowed me to make spiral staircases, so I was doing that everywhere. It was an aquarium map, and it was like, my first one was, what was it? It was based on The Ministry of Love from George Orwell, or what's that book?
1984?
Yeah, 1984. Oh. Yeah, and I learned a lot from that, and then this aquarium one, like, oh man, it would have been great. It would have been. And I still remember all the best maps from that, because that's what all the multiplayer scene was about, was the cool maps. Like, one of the best ones was, like, this high school map that was so good. Man.
I probably brought this up before, but Chad got into making...
CSGO maps. Yeah.
He got into making one map because he couldn't understand how skyboxes work.
Okay.
So he's like, fuck it. I'm just going to have to make it in a submarine. So he made one in a submarine. And so there wouldn't be sky.
Yeah.
And it fixed the problem. And it looked really fucking cool. Like all the terrorists would start in shipping containers, and you have to, like, knife your way out because that's how they got on the submarine.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the cargo. And then they would pick up their weapons and then start, and it was all about mostly duct work and stuff, but I always wanted that map to come out, and I don't think it ever did.
Oh, that sounds cool. Cool idea.
Yeah. It's such a time-consuming process, though. I would love to, like, be able to get into that, get into any game that much where I start making maps. But
the first one, and I'm just thinking of this because... I've been playing so much Switch lately. The first game that ever let you make your own maps that I actually used was Excitebike.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Excitebike let you do that.
Yeah. And and Super Mario, Mario Kart, I don't know what it's called. Mario Kart 8, the newest one.
Okay.
You race around the Excitebike track. And it's all the pieces that you remember from when you were a kid. Like, that. Remember the one that was like a jump into the mud on the right side, but on the left side at a ramp that you
go across over a bridge,
and you go across that, and you're just like, nostalgia.
All right. I don't like this abbreviation for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Me either. Because, so
I always see R2-D2.
R2-D2 single time. And it took me all of yesterday to realize
it's making everybody dyslexic. It's a real problem right now. So Red Dead Redemption 2, everyone's calling it RDR2.
Yes.
It rolls right off the tongue, first of all. And second of all, way too close to R2-D2.
I told last night, fucking Bullstone, he's been playing this, and I was like, hey, man, you around? And like an hour later, he got back to me, and I was like, oh, I wanted to talk to you about R2-D2, but you're talking about Red Dead Redemption, so I don't give a fuck. So, that's the thing now. This is one of those weird things. Who knows if it really means anything? Because this has been happening for Fallout 3. I mean, Half-Life 3 for years, where they find files that mean this or that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in the Red Dead Redemption 2 companion app, there are settings for PC settings. So I think one of the things you can do in your companion app is change your settings for your game when you get back home, which is, fucking sounds ridiculous. But anyway, that's one of the things. And PC options are in there. So hopefully sooner than later, because...
So it hasn't been officially announced that this is coming out for the PC, but we all kind of assume it is at this point. Right.
And from everything I've seen, it's, you know, one of these fucking super stellar, awesome games. Mm-hmm. Are you interested, Bobby?
Kind of. I don't know. I'm not going to buy this day one. You know, we'll see.
Well, day one would be day 700, really.
Well, yeah, because Rockstar doesn't release PC versions until a year and a half later.
Yeah.
If it's anything like GTA 5.
But if it's GTA 5, let's say...
I'm in no rush to play the game. I mean, it looks kind of cool, but it's going to be a big game.
Yeah.
So I don't...
Do big games.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right.
Dodge Kebab sneaks into WoW Classic. Oh, so that's a YouTuber.
Yeah, the YouTuber. Yeah.
So you can download right now.
The client, kind of, right?
Yeah. You can download WoW Classic in the BNet client, but you can't play it. So some people have been able to crack it and actually load it up, because you have to have bought a BlizzCon ticket or bought their virtual ticket to have access to it.
But you still wouldn't be able to play it, correct?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But this guy used an emulator for, I'm not sure what he did. He used an emulator for something else and was able to make it run. And guess what? It looks like a 15-year-old game. So I don't know why everybody's so excited about this.
I didn't notice a lot of the differences. I mean, graphics look a little smoother, I guess. See, here's the 2005 WoW right now, and then here's 2018. Yeah, it doesn't really look that different. But you do start to notice, like, all the little changes they made over time. Like, this totally reminds me of WoW back in the day. Like, it was a trip to see this. I don't know. I'm still excited to play it. I'm not in a super big rush. The video is a little underwhelming, though. Like, I don't know.
Well, you think he's just showing off the terrain, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's all he could. There's no quest markers. Or, you know, that shit's not even ready or whatever. So, yeah. When's it come out, Bobby?
I don't know. I mean, the beta should be soon. I think it's when BlizzCon starts.
So you have to have a BlizzCon ticket to get into the beta?
Yeah. Yeah, the virtual ticket is what, $40? It's been $40 in recent years. I don't know if it's gone up, but you get all the digital goods. You know, mm-hmm. You get like a mountain, Heroes of the Storm, or a pet and WoW, and like all this stuff, like a card back for Hearthstone, I'm assuming. You know, they always announce what you're going to get.
So, Bobby, I was considering going with my $200. Like, I got offered a $200 ticket, so I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I should go.
Which is like the retail price of it, but like nobody gets it for that because they all sell out super quick.
Right. So I'm like, I should have come and accompanied Bobby. And then I thought really deep and I was like, Bobby would rather be there alone. I feel like we only held you back last year. Like,
I there's not enough time to do stuff at BlizzCon, exactly. Which is why they give you the access to all the video archives if you buy a ticket, because you're not going to be able to do everything you want to do. I wasn't even able to see the keynote speeches on Heroes of the Storm and watch the esports at the same time. Like, everything is happening concurrently. Yeah. So you really have to make some tough decisions on what you want to do.
And that said, still the best convention I've been out to.
Yeah. Well, they pack it into 2 days, which is insane.
Like, take away
in 2 days.
Take away what it's about. I've been to the porn convention. You would think that would be I've been to a lot of conventions, mm-hmm. and they just do it the best here. You're comfortable the whole time. You're not super overpacked. You can get to the things you want to get to.
It's very well thought out.
It's really well thought out, as Blizzard does, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I can't wait to go. That's happening next week. Oh, boy. I'm excited.
You don't have to talk about this, Bobby. I'm already sold. I'm going to go get another drink.
All right.
Just based on the headline. That's how I base most of my things.
Larry in Studios, Project Gustav.
Yeah. They just announced that there's a new project. They say it's going to be another RPG, story-driven, and that's pretty much it. Gustav is the name of the CEO's dog, Sven Vicky.
Hmm. It's his dog's name.
Yeah, okay. It's his dog's name.
But that's like a code name. It doesn't really mean anything.
Doesn't
right?
mean anything. Yeah.
So do they, is this, this can't be actual.
No, that's Divinity 1, the first Divinity.
Yeah, it looks pretty old.
Yeah.
Yeah. So really they're just, oh, this is a long video. It's like an hour long.
Yeah. They don't really go into it. They just say, hey, new game coming out. We've been working on it since the end of Divinity Original Sin 2. And just stay tuned.
Okay. Don't know why you need to take 50 minutes to say that, but all right. I'm sure there's more to that video. I'll have to watch it later.
Yeah, I mean, a bit more, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, but I think everybody's going to be hyped for this. Mm-hmm. Larian Studios definitely has a good reputation. Divinity 1 and 2.
Original Sin 1 and 2. Because Divinity 1 and 2
are... Oh, yeah. I mean, the Divinity universe.
Right.
It's a little confusing. Yeah, cool. Hardware. Well, Emilio's not here to talk about his Pixel 3 some more, so I'll talk about a drone that I got.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sort of got. Borrowed it from someone at work, and it's the first time I've ever really messed around with a drone, like actually done the whole experience thing, like had to learn how to use it, learn how to fly it, and it's pretty interesting. I think it needs to be calibrated because it's kind of... It's a little wobbly when I get it up in the air. And the last time I used a drone, it was not like that. Like, it was very steady. I'm using it with a camera. It's a DJI Phantom 3 Advanced. So a little bit older, but still a pretty good drone. I think you can get them for like $400 now.
All right.
Which is a good price for one of these. It's got a 1080p camera.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, these things are fun. I don't really... It's so funny. I read the manual and I read all the little quick tips and everything. They take this stuff so seriously. It's like they act like you're flying a plane.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of regulations on these.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of regulations, too, especially depending on where you're at. If you're near, like, there's no fly zones and everything. But you've got to do, like, a whole flight check and everything before taking it off. And the story with this drone, so one of my coworkers got it to use in his class. And day one, kids are messing around with it, fucking crash it. Send it back in, $300 worth of repairs. He gets it back and he's like, there's no way I can make that. It needs too much supervision. There's no way I can work this into my class. So years later, I'm just like, hey man, I can really use that to get some footage. If you're not using it. And he's like, yeah, sure. And, I started playing around with it, had to update the firmware and figure a lot of things out, you know, get the controller connected to the phone and all that connected to the drone. Mm-hmm. But yeah, got it all working. I'm pretty impressed with it. Just got to get it calibrated so I get a little more smoother footage. But
did you pay for that, Bobby?
I didn't buy it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to? Sorry if I...
No.
It's because I can get you one for free, probably.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I pretty much got this one for free. It's from a coworker who couldn't really use it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you need the footage for? Or what are you using the footage for?
It's just going to be another thing to use in my class.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I teach video production. That's right. The class that I teach. So I feel like it's long overdue. Like, these things have been around for a while, and it's a great way to get aerial shots.
You know,
just aerial shots of anything. It looks so, like, cinematic when you do it. You're just like, whoa. Yeah, but I actually got some new plugins that I'm working with right now, too, like this motion tracking stuff. Because Final Cut Pro doesn't support motion tracking in the software. You have to get it like this third party stuff. And so I'm trying out this new software and using that in conjunction with the drone footage has made for some really cool shit.
Oh, I've never played with a drone, dude.
It's
cool. Not what you think it is.
No?
Well, it's not what I thought it was.
Okay.
I thought it was like a remote control car.
All right.
Right. Where you're like, you're driving around, you're looking at it. Nothing. You're not even looking at it. You're playing it through, you're moving it through its own perspective.
Yeah.
So it's like it's more of a first person shooter, 8 Degrees of Freedom or whatever that is, Bobby.
Yeah.
It's more like one of those games than it is an RC car by far.
Okay.
Literally, you're looking down the entire time at a phone or whatever it is. Most controllers is like a phone. You have this giant controller and then your phone slips into it. That's how most of them work. And then the phone is the display. And the controls are more like an RC plane or something like that.
Yeah. It's a lot more difficult to control than you think because you're controlling the drone. And they have two joysticks and they do various things like altitude, pitch, yaw, roll. Like, it's all like flight stuff. But not only that, but then you've got these little sliders on the side that control the camera. So to get these shots that I want to get, like, I'm trying to, I'm like figuring out, okay, I got to do this and that, and I got to do it all smoothly. I'm moving my hands in really weird ways to try and get these shots.
Bobby, you really need to talk to Christian. He's out there right now, and like, this is what he does for a living. He, one of the things he does on his side, on the side, is he goes and surveys construction areas, and it takes a topographical and also heat and also like basically any kind of lens that you could put on there. It takes depth, heat, weight, what do you call it? How density of the dirt, all this stuff of the entire work site. Also productivity, like everything. And then puts it into like a graph map. And then, it's like a $1 billion project that's going on. The entire Tijuana, San Diego border is being redone. And, I think once a week he goes down there and just like drives it around for 20 minutes and then charges them who God knows who for what. But I mean, I know for what, but I mean like how much. And then the computer crunches the numbers and gives out this report. And then you give that over to the manager, and he can see like where people are moving the most and where they're not moving and where they should be careful and where the dirt is the densest and where you shouldn't dig. And you know, you're getting all of this from this. It's crazy, man. It's not the future, but it's definitely part of the future.
I feel like the hype around drones have kind of died down a little bit.
Yeah, but like, they're quietly doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, they definitely do, but I know people had a lot of security concerns about it.
Like on Reddit, check that book off. I saw drone missile defense in Israel.
Really?
Yeah, so somewhere was shooting bombs at somewhere. And it was like a cluster bomb. So it was a missile that went up and spread into eight. Mm-hmm. Eight drones went up and blocked all eight missiles at night.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
The drone races are really cool to watch.
Yeah, in first person, right? Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the only way that you can play it is play it in first. You know what we're talking about, Bobby?
Yeah. I think we've talked about that on the podcast before, haven't we?
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like that's come up. Robots. All right, what about the Pixel 3? You got a stand for it?
Yeah, I had the stand actually before the Pixel 3. Now I've had a full week, and I'll probably talk about it next week as well. First takeaway thing, I went from the Pixel 2. And I'll just start from the beginning, because a lot of people don't know what the Pixel is. It's a lot of people say it's the best phone. I mean, it's definitely in the running. You can't say that it's not. It's Google's phone. And if you don't know, Google makes Android. So when you have an Android phone, it's usually you're taking Samsung that gets the operating system from Android and then puts their own overlay on it. And then you have that. Then if you run a Google phone, you're kind of just playing the operating system straight up. Like the it's just a thin veneer. There's a lot less going on because it's not like they're trying to promote their own programs that they came up with or their own operating system that's right on top of their. So anyway, it's closer to the paint.
So it's a very lightweight UI?
It's a very, very lightweight UI, and it's running super fast because
this video we're watching is like 3 straight minutes of this guy just making hand gestures.
Dude, it's 9 minutes. It doesn't stop. I watched this entire video, by the way.
Like, I assume he's saying something very interesting, because all I'm seeing is him just being like...
His fingers are just flipping around.
He's actually really good. I watched this guy. It's funny that you brought this guy.
A lot of hand talking.
Because this entire video I watched, and his entire video on the Pixel 3 in general, I watched together. So anyway, Pixel 3, best pictures I've ever taken on a phone by far. I've been putting them on Discord. It's really nice. Everybody always talks about the portrait mode. Portrait mode, not only does it take really good portraits, but you can customize the blurriness, the depth, the color, all kinds of stuff on that as well. Mm-hmm. They have a really nice feature where if somebody calls you and you know who it is, you can have the phone answer the phone call. It's not
your own personal secretary.
Yeah, it's not.
New way to screen your calls.
Exactly. But I want to get away from it sounding like it's voicemail. It's definitely not voicemail. It's an active call going on, and you can see what Google's saying. What's it say? It says, "Hello, I am a representative of the person that you are calling," something like that. please state your name and what you're calling about. And almost everybody hangs up right there because they're usually, but they can state what they're saying. And
I'd probably hang up too, man. That's weird.
And it comes up in text what they're saying.
Okay.
Right. And then you can decide to answer at any time, or you can have the computer fucking continue to talk to them. Like, okay, please stop calling me because you're a vendor or whatever it is. And so
have you guys been getting a lot of spam calls lately?
Chinese.
No,
I don't pick up, but they always leave like a blank 3-second voicemail.
No.
Dude, I've been getting so much. And I've talked to a few other people and they've said the same thing.
It's getting really bad. I get a lot of Chinese phone calls. So I pick up and it's just like somebody speaking in Chinese. Yeah.
And because you run a business, you probably get a lot from that as well.
Yeah. And it's always on my business line. By the way, if you have a small business or if you just want to separate people, I have two numbers on my one phone. It's called Sideline. That's one of the worst things about the Pixel 3. It's not working as well on there. It's working, but not as well. And I got to work through that. Anyway, enjoying everything about it. It's smaller but bigger. Oh, the notch. Yeah, it's annoying for sure.
Really?
Yeah. It's like this thing that doesn't seem like it should be there.
Yeah.
And then when your screen is completely black, for some reason, the two extra pieces of screen that are white a lot of the time. And just like kind of like almost announcing the presence.
That is.
Doesn't make any sense. It's annoying, but whatever. Everything else I love about the phone.
I wonder if the notch is, that got really popular with the iPhone X. I'm wondering if that's just going to be like this trend that fades out.
Yeah, well, everybody's talking about the 100% screen, like where there's no notches, no bezels,
right.
And that's going to be the killer app when it comes out. Not the killer app, the killer hardware when it comes out.
Yeah, but how do you get the front-facing camera?
Well, exactly. Actually, I think Samsung just patented?
No. Nice try, though.
It's like an under-screen camera. So, like, the camera...
But still, that would still be on the front of the phone.
No, but it's under the screen. Like, the screen covers the camera.
Oh! It takes pictures through the screen.
Yeah.
Just kind of like how they're doing speakers now. I think it was... I don't know if it was Pixel, but one of the phones turned the screen into... The screen vibrates and turned it into the speakers. So, the front-facing speakers are the screen. Because the screen vibrates and is the diaphragm, I guess, is what you would call it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, love it, love it, love it. And then now the stand. So the stand is wireless charging. It charges through my case, which is nice. You just put it on the stand and it makes your phone stand at a like 80 degree angle. Would that be right?
It's not quite straight up, but it's pretty close.
Exactly. And it changes the functionality of your phone, turns it more into an iHome or an iHome hub or whatever. So if you ask it questions, not only will it tell you verbally, it will show you pictures of whatever you're talking about. It wakes you up every morning with this thing called sunrise alarm, which is so nice. It starts with a really dim light and it amplifies the light going from black all the way to super bright orange. And I'm not a light sleeper, but I've been waking up to the light before. So let's say your alarm is at 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. At 7:57, the light will start and gradually grow. And I've been waking up to the light I really like it. It's not as intrusive as like dun dun dun. Yeah, you know,
I got it.
And so that's been nice.
Don't you hate that when somebody like out in the wild, they have your alarm sound as their ringtone?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's so pissed off.
Here, fuck you, motherfucker.
How fast does it charge, though? Because I've used wireless chargers and they do charge, but it's a lot slower.
It's hard to tell for me because I always just put it there and go to sleep. Mm-hmm. And what I really like about that is, I know this is fucking first world problems and all that, but literally you lay in bed and play on your phone until you can't keep your eyes open. And then you got to go and find the fucking plug and put it in. Now it's just like, you're hanging up the phone.
Yeah.
And it's almost like it adds a finality to the whole day. And then what's great about it is when you start the next day, it goes, you know, you wake up and you're like, all right, I'm getting up. And then you say, okay, Google, tell me about my day. And then it will tell you the weather for that day, how long it's going to take you to get to work that day, what time you should leave by, What else? Oh, well, it's on your calendar for that day, and then you can modify it like you right after all of that. Mm-hmm. That like it sounds like a lot, but it's only like 10 seconds. You can set it up to play whatever song you want, whatever podcast you want, whatever anything you want.
Dude, you have me almost sold on this. I want one now.
Dude, I'm fucking. Yeah,
what phone do you have right now, Mini?
The work phone. I don't want to talk about it.
It's an iPhone 3.
It's a 5.
Dude, the last work phone I had was an iPhone 3, yeah. Like a 3S. Oh, man, that was bad.
I hate iPhones.
I'm not a so big. How much does this stand? It was like $80.
It's $80, which is like $40 more than any other stand, but only the Pixel will do Pixel type stuff on this. They're obviously going, they're selling to their consumers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you can buy another wireless charger, but you're not going to get all this other functionality with it. And yeah, as you can see, it's made
test.
For it. Yeah, a tilt test. Super sold, man.
Yeah, I want one.
Seems pretty
good. How much is the phone?
The regular, do you go regular or do you go XL?
It's
a $200 difference. That's why. Okay. $799, $699 or $790.
Yeah, $700 or $900.
Okay.
Yeah,
$700 or $900.
Okay. Shit. This is probably going to be my next phone.
Yeah, and you don't, and there's no interest. So you can just pay.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So is it a two-year plan?
Yeah, two-year plan.
Damn.
Yeah.
Cool.
Have you seen my pictures?
Yes.
That have been posted?
Beautiful.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Really nice.
For sure. And who was it? Duck? He took a picture of his cat, and that was phenomenal. Was,
yeah. That was really nice. But he took it on a Samsung Note. No. 9? I don't know. It's hard to keep track with the Samsungs, but it was from
I think they're on the 9. Yeah. The Note 9.
And it was better than any of my pictures, but I think he really took some time with that. But I don't know.
Hmm. I can't take a picture without looking like a Chinese tourist.
I saw there's a picture of you floating around Discord where they put you on Hanzo. What was going on there?
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah, I was messing around with some pomade in my hair, and that was like one of the looks that came up. And yeah, a duck again. I think he superimposed my head onto Hanzo's body.
I wonder if he did that on his phone. That'd be impressive.
Yeah.
I also got a hole in my foot.
Yeah, what the fuck is that, dude? That was gross.
Yeah, so I stepped on a nail like 8 months ago. I guess a virus got in there. So I ended up with like a callus virus thing. So anyway.
Dig it out?
Yeah. So as I didn't care for the first 4 or 5 months, and then it started hurting. And I was like, oh, this is going to affect my athletic career. So I got to get this taken care of. So instead of using my American insurance and going through the I just went to Mexico because it's like you could do it the day that you want it and it's like a fraction of the price.
Some needle nail pliers and channel locks and dug it out.
Yeah, no, actually there's a place called La Casa de los Pies, which is the feet or the house of the feet, and I thought there was going to be like foot shaped doors when I got there and stuff. But no, there's a lot of people like hobbling in with like various foot problems, and I was in and out in 25 minutes.
That's crazy dude.
That's how long it would take you to feel the form and sit there.
For the next 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah. And so she explained everything to Sam, and I kind of understood about half of it. And, you know, it's something super common or whatever. And so she got this, like, hot stick? I don't know, some sort of, like, laser, without the laser, like a hot
Scalpel. Iron?
A hot scalpel.
Soldering iron type thing.
Sure, yeah, very close. And just kind of like dug in there and fucking got it all out.
Any anesthesia or just poked it?
No, oh yeah. So that's probably the most important part.
Yeah, that would definitely be the most important part.
I've been poked everywhere. Like I give blood a lot. Mm-hmm. I've had shots. I've had the tetanus shot back when it was the old school one where like it was a ring that they would put on. It was round, and they would just punch you in the arm, and you'd have this round scar for a while. Hmm. And I've given myself shots. Like, I don't care. So there's three Mexican ladies in the room, and one of them's like, do you want me to hold your leg down? And I was like, I got this shit. Like, ladies, please. Like, because they were making a big deal. Like, it was going to and I was like, no, it's fine. But, dude, when it's the bottom of your foot, I think your body is like, telling you shouldn't be stepping on whatever pain that is.
Yeah,
it's like one of the most sensitive places.
Okay.
Anyway, I didn't like jerk back, but I was way more of a bitch. My inner bitch came out for sure, and I was so embarrassed. I moved like 4 inches, but I should not have. Because she's like, don't kick me in the face, please. Like, she told me, this was like a 4 minute conversation of the 25 minutes of how I was going to react to this, and it hurt bad. And I was like, and then the girl in the back, the old fat lady, I don't know why that was relevant, but she goes, breathe. Respira, respira. I was like, it hurts so bad. But 2 seconds later, I could not feel the second needle at all.
Okay.
Like, so it was fine. And so now I have a big
hole. So it was the anesthesia that hurt?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was the only thing.
Is that shit not growing back, or what's up with that?
So the reason that I got the infection in the first place is if you have a wound on the bottom of your foot, it just opens the door for all the bacteria to run in there. Yeah. So if you have a cut on the bottom of your foot, be very careful, like shower with flip-flops on and whatever. And it's not bacteria, it's a virus. But so in order for
MRSA or something, did you?
No, it's I heard it in Spanish, so I don't know.
Okay.
So just be very careful if you have open wounds on your feet, because that shit's everywhere. So she's like, do you walk around barefoot? And I'm like a monkey. Like, I never, as soon as I come home, shoes and socks are off. And that's how I got it.
Well, today I came over, you were picking up dog shit.
In my socks.
In the dirt, in your socks. Yeah. I'm like, this motherfucker.
Yeah. And that's taking it to the next level. That's one more layer. And it's not like I have an open wound under my socks. I have it wrapped up and there's gauze.
It's not about your wound. It's about walking in the dirt with your socks, picking up dog shit.
I hate shoes and clothing in general. Like, I wish it was caveman days. I'll tell you guys how it goes. And it's funny because she's like, I'll give you a guarantee. If it comes back in that hole, I'll do it for free. If you have it somewhere else, that's your fault. And I'm going to change you again. So we'll see how it goes.
Ugh. Yikes.
Oh, and the worst part is, like, me and my friends have had competitions. So, like, who has the best looking feet? Because I have awesome looking feet for
a
man.
That's a weird competition. No, I know. Because with your friends.
When you have the best ones, though.
And you don't get pedicures. You just.
How does that come up in conversation?
I have nice looking feet. Because we're walking around naked, barefoot. And then I go, hey, you guys have a bunch of ugly feet. So, anyway.
Dude, that's like a San Diego.
So now I'm going to lose from now on because. I have a, if you want to think of what it looks like.
Here goes your career as a foot model.
Take the pink part of an eraser and then double the length. Okay. That's what I have in the bottom of my foot.
Oh,
right
nice.
Now.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good size hole.
Damn. It's a good size hole. Yeah.
I got a manicure on Friday.
And it's thicker too.
I got a manicure on Friday. It's pretty awesome. Go? Yeah. Great. I feel very pretty.
Meek. No, actually they're really nice. Have you had one, Bobby?
I got it done once. A friend of mine was like, you've never had a manicure. All right, I'm paying for it. You're getting a manicure.
Yeah, it's cheap. It's like 20 bucks.
They're nice. And the pedicures are even better.
I can't have people touch my feet.
I wouldn't go out of my way to like do it again. But, I mean, it does clean up like all your hands and stuff
dead skin,
like that.
Yeah.
First of all, calm down.
Because like a lot of people.
Nobody's threatening to touch your feet. No. You said it like, so we're imminently going to touch your feet.
It's not like it's weird for people to touch
my feet. I can't touch my feet.
It's not like it's weird, but I just cannot have it. Like, I have very sensitive feet, so if anybody touches, like, my feet go kicking. Like, that just, I can't do it.
Are you ticklish?
Yes.
I have very sensitive feet.
Even if you're ticklish, you cannot show that to a woman. You cannot. You have to bury that shit.
That's why nobody fucking touches my feet.
A lot of foot talk in this episode. I don't know how I feel about it.
Truthfully, like, I am ticklish in like 1% of my body. And whenever it's touched, I just fucking man through that shit. Like, I go, nothing. No, you're supposed to be a piece of wood as a man.
I mean, there's a lot of this talk going around of what needs to be, what's manly and what's not. You can go fuck yourself. I'm a man, damn it.
Okay. Listener questions.
All right.
First one comes from Sniper. He asks, what do you guys think about the boycott on R2-D2?
All this right. Has lost many,
keep it
many,
together.
Many and all
this. Someone touch your feet? What's going on?
Just spit Gatorade everywhere.
That was good, Bobby. That was really good. His manhood was just checked right now.
Okay, he says, what do you guys think about the boycott on RDR2 due to the 100-hour unpaid overtime weeks worked by devs? So this is part of like a larger discussion, I think.
Because you brought it up like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, it's what everyone's kind of talking about right now is just the working conditions of your average developer, and it's not good, and it never has been. There was an article on PC Gamer where they're talking about there was like a secret message in a game called Dungeon Keeper.
Oh, there it is. That's the one that was...
Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting article. It's basically a secret message that one of the developers put in there talking about how he looks around the office, just sees pale faces, and like how the getting this game done basically just killed the lives of all the developers.
80-hour work weeks for 6 months straight with no extra pay or something like that. It was just one line in somebody saw it in the DOS files.
Yeah.
So, and not just that, independently of all of this, I forgot who did the study, but they found out that 40 hours a week is just as productive as 80 hours a week. And at the end of the week. So I don't know, you know, just because people start to crack. I think there's
a lot of variables going through
that.
No, for sure. Yeah.
But it came from a big name. I think it was like Google that did the research or something. So...
Well, yeah, if I know I'm going to be working a longer week, I'm going to be like working less.
Have you got your breath yet?
But I think it's also how you work. I don't know. I'd be a little skeptical of that article. I haven't read it yet, but you got to be careful with all these studies. But regardless, I've heard multiple stories about this where people talk about filming and being on set in Australia and New Zealand. They have different work codes out there because out here, if you're an actor or whatever, or you work on set, like on a TV show or a movie, like
SAG, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, they have that, but like, it's not uncommon to have really, really long days, and out there, they don't do that in Australia, but a lot of people have said, but they've said like a lot of people, well, the Lord of the Rings was filmed in New Zealand, but a lot of people will tell you like they work twice as hard out in New Zealand. Right. Like they work half as much, but they work in half the time, but they work twice as hard.
That's what I tell all my ladies. Like I'm working twice as hard for 2 minutes as opposed to the average Joe's 5 minutes.
So I don't know, but this is like a big discussion right now about the working conditions, and it's tough as the consumer, because obviously we don't want developers, like we don't want it at the risk of like the health and like the social lives of the developers. Like we want them to be able to have families and live normal lives. But at the same time, we also want really good games. And this reminds me of a lot of things that were brought up with Heroes of the Storm. Like a lot of talk on the Reddit about like, why don't we have this yet? Why don't we have that yet? And a lot of times they would say like, we just don't have the manpower to do it. Or, you know, we want our developers and the people that work for us to, you know, be able to go home to their families. Like that was always the line they used, to be able to go home to their families. And I don't know, I have no idea personally, but I kind of get the feeling that Blizzard doesn't do that with their employees to the degree a lot of these other companies do.
And maybe that's why they make the best games.
They make fantastic games. Yeah. But it is true that like with Heroes of the Storm, like it takes a long time and they have to choose. It's not that it takes a long time to get something done. They have to choose what's most important. What do people want? Like, what is it that we're going to focus on and get done? And then everything else goes on the back burner. And maybe that comes out like 8 months later. And yeah, a lot of people will tell you if you play a lot of Heroes of the Storm, it takes them fucking forever to get things to come out and like get things done. But it's, you know, as a company, you got to make that decision. I feel like there's more sustainability in that. Like you're going to be around longer as a company if you treat your employees better. So in the end, I think it is better.
I think it shows too. Quality over quantity, right?
Yeah, for sure. I was saying before, if I know I'm working
man. It's just because it sounded like you still had a bubble in your throat from when you were choking. That's why.
If I know I'm working a longer week, I'm going to be less efficient.
Right.
Because I want to have enough energy to get through the week.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And they're probably doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to be somewhere, you're not going to be optimal.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here.
Morale takes a big hit on
fucking
that.
Thursday. And I've worked already 4 days, but it's only been 3 days, but I've worked 4 days worth of hours.
Right.
You're already thinking of Thursday as Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't heard about this boycott though. I mean, to me, it doesn't really matter because I'm not going to play the game right away anyway. And like, I'm not the market for this. I've never played the first one. I'm not that hyped about the game, but I think it's cool that people are making an issue of this. And I think a change has to come eventually
for sure.
Because it's pretty fucking crazy what a lot of these people go through. And it's just, there's no way you're going to have a normal life like that. Like, it's cool. And a lot of people will accept that because it's like, I'm living my dream. I'm working in the game industry. Like, these things that have been so important to me all my life, I'm actually creating them now. Like, that's cool. Like, you have a sense of pride when you go into to work a job like that. But at the same time, it's like, when you start talking about, I need health benefits, I want to get married and have kids, I want to buy a house, like all these long-term things, like when you want to start becoming an adult, like then you got to start really weighing your options. Like, shit changes then.
Well, the other thing that Blizzard does really well is not set dates.
Yeah.
It's just like, you won't even know shit's going to come out before a month it's going to come out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that, and they're only announcing it because it would have been nice. What do they do? Two announces a year, right? They do BlizzCon and they do like, they go to one of the other ones.
Anyway. They never really have like big announcements. It's just, they kind of announce things
when they're ready.
Yeah.
Right.
Occasionally on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah. Like people, although I do like that they shut things down. People were smammering. I just made that word up. Smammering Diablo 4. And they're like, no, guys, it's not going to be there.
Yeah, I thought that was way too soon for Diablo. Yeah,
stop smammering.
Smammering. What is that a combination of? What two words? That's like a portmanteau of some sort, and I can't figure out what it is.
What I'm meaning it means is like starting rumors.
Clamoring and...
Yeah, clamoring and...
murmuring, maybe?
Smash up?
I don't know. Smammering.
Yeah.
It's the title of the episode. That's what it is.
I haven't got spelling. One of those in months.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. It'll be interesting to see how this all plays out and what it'll change. I would love to hear from somebody. I'm sure we have listeners who work in the industry, and I would love to hear their take on something like this.
If only we had a super powerful media company. Oh, we do.
All right, Hinks asks, if you had to become a PC game character for the rest of your mortal time on Earth, what would it be?
Oh, man.
I'm already Leisure Shirt Larry, so that's already taken. Let's see. Maybe, I mean, this is just coming from my teenage years. If I could be Altered Beast, like change into different animals, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because had you not said your mortal days, I would definitely would have went with something immortal.
But you said a PC
like
game.
Like a vampire?
Yeah, yeah, something that lives forever. But if PC I'm only going to live the rest of my life, which is like five more years, yeah, it'd probably be something awesome, something like that. Who gets laid the most? Bang. Who gets laid the most in all of PC dumb? Duke Nukem? I feel like he doesn't get any tail.
Yeah, he doesn't. He's just too... He's like Johnny Bravo, man. He's just always trying and never gets it.
Yeah.
Never gonna get it. Never gonna get it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm. That, yeah, I can't think of anything, man. A PC.
That's a just I like name a character from a PC and you win. That's all you have to do. One game, one character.
From I can't
one
think game. Of any games right
just
now.
Just go with the guy from Half-Life. Whatever the guy's name.
Geralt. There's a good answer.
Gordon Freeman. Yeah. Yeah.
Geralt's better because he has magic.
Yeah, Gordon Freeman. He's just like silent though. He doesn't speak.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. Right. Worst question ever. Actually, it's not a bad question.
Worst answers, man.
Yeah. Noober13 asks, what's your all-time favorite game where you always go back to, or no matter what, it will always be number one?
Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden?
Yeah.
From the Nintendo, the original one?
No, for the 360?
Oh, I don't know.
So, Xbox said that they're going to... I was super confused about this, but Xbox Game Pass is now going to be for PC.
Okay.
But it is, right? I actively play Xbox games on PC already.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But somehow they're bringing it to PC and it's going to be its own thing. I don't understand it. But PC games, so I read the interview, or read the article, and PC Gamer's like, we don't understand what they're saying either, but hopefully we're going to get some retroactivity going on.
Yeah.
And maybe we could play, and the one game they said was Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
On PC.
Have you played it?
No.
Oh, that's so good.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the Xbox one.
It's kind of like God of War E.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was more Dark Souls. I mean, difficulty wise.
It's extremely difficult, but like it's more God of War in the combat because Dark Souls, like the slower combat, but in Ninja Gaiden, really lightning fast combat.
Gotcha.
Well, I would obviously have to play or say Dark Forces 2. Every 2 years, I got to play that game. Yeah, no surprise there.
Are there, like, mad graphical mods for it and stuff? Because when you were playing it, it looked rough.
There's a high-res texture pack, but it doesn't have all the textures. So it applies the wrong textures to certain things. So you go into an area and like one wall will have like the med pack skin on it for some reason. It's like an under construction sign, but yeah, there is a high res texture pack, but I think Jedi Outcast people actually put a lot more effort into,
those are fun.
They were going to make a completely redone, you know, like they're doing with BioShock and System Shock or System Shock. They're going to like redo the whole game with Jedi Outcast. I don't know what happened to that. Probably lost interest too.
Good luck getting the licensing now. You can't do it now.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they shut it down. I mean, LucasArts shut something else down, didn't they? We talked about it a week ago.
Yeah, I forget what it was.
It was the game I played recently, Knights of the Old Republic, or the first Knights of the Old Republic, not two.
I have to update mine all the time. I used to say Fallout 3 was my favorite PC game of all time, but I would never go back and play that ever. So with your modifier here of like the one I might have to say something that I could always easily go back to and no matter what was going on.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
Binding of Isaac.
Yeah. It's the only one that like I know that I could always have fun with no matter what. Mm-hmm. So yeah, maybe it's rough to say because it's not like flashy or anything, but
I don't think that game will ever be outdated.
Yeah. And there's another one coming up. So, Another expansion,
man.
Yeah.
They have like four already, don't they?
Yeah, he said, I talked about it later before, but he said that was it. That Afterbirth Plus was supposed to be the last one. But this modder came in and just fucking, he made this game called something else. And it was a complete fucking top-down overhaul of the entire game. Mm. And Edmund, whatever his name is, was like, I didn't even know some of this shit was possible within our engine. So we hired that guy and we now made a whole new other game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like one of those fucking stories that really inspire, like when, wasn't a small team that made Counter-Strike and then Steam bought them or hired them all.
Exactly.
And it's like one of those on a smaller level.
I think one of those original guys, he just got caught with like some kind of porn on his computer, like I think it was like child porn or something. Like he got convicted. Ooh. Of it.
Yeah, we talked about that. That was a while
long
ago.
Long time ago, dude.
Was it a while ago?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And finally, just we're on mods. If you're into Fallout New Vegas, Fallout New California came out, and that's a gigantic, gigantic game. Bigger than Fallout New Vegas.
Where does it take place?
Well, California is bigger than Vegas.
Yeah.
It would make there sense.
But yeah, it's on the same engine and all of that stuff. So if you love that game and you've never modded before, this might be the time because it's going to be easy to do because it's so popular. So it'll probably be on the front page of Nexus Mods and all of that. So yeah, try it out, man. Fucking mods are awesome.
Yeah, for sure, man. I got a buddy who's big Fallout fan and he's been wanting a Fallout to come to California for so long. So yeah. I need to talk to him about this.
Next week, see if you can get some graphical updates for Masquerade.
For what?
I'm curious. Masquerade.
Graphical updates?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm curious.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll look around.
Shop around.
And crash my game and have to start all over.
All right. Last question from Slouch1. Have you ever thought about adding a VR section in your Discord? I know you don't, but I'm sure some of your listeners have one. There are other VR channels in Discord, but this community is awesome. God,
why do you spell it community?
That must have been a spelling error.
Maybe that's what he uses his VR section for, or his VR.
I mean, we were really into VR when we had the Oculus over here, but we haven't talked about it that much. But there are a lot of people who use that. And there's a lot of, I noticed new channels popping up in our Discord a lot.
Are those new controllers out? Do we know? The 2.0?
I don't think so.
Vive Pro controllers? I'm waiting on those, and then talk to Bobby about getting a loan on getting this.
Yeah, I don't think those are out yet. But, yeah, I don't see any reason why we couldn't have a VR section.
Yeah. Get on that, Sniper. Do something. Community manager. That we don't pay shit.
All right, I think that's about the end of it. What's everybody playing next week?
Well, I was completely wrong last week when I said whatever the fuck I said. So I do, before I uninstall it, I want to play Beat Hazard 2 some more. And man, all this Fallout 76 talk has really made me want to go and finish Fallout 4.
Did anybody play the 3-hour demo?
It's funny because I could have sworn I put it on the notes. I wanted to talk about it, but let's talk about it next week. They're really more stress tests than anything else, but you can take away a few things about it.
So it didn't really give you a good idea what the game was going to be about?
No. From what I can tell, it's a game trying to find out what it's going to be. And that's what the open letter said, too. It was like, we don't know what this thing is.
Yeah.
Help us figure this out kind of thing. So I really like Bethesda's open door policy.
Hmm. Yeah, I might check out Pit of Doom. $10, I'd take a chance.
Do it, Bobby. So I can play it for free.
I was I forgot to talk about it, but I've been playing Black Ops 4. And I'm going to play more of that. I'm not...
What mode are you playing?
Just regular team mode.
Oh, like dude, the other ones.
Not Blackout?
No.
Not
I tried
zombies?
Blackout, and it was not for me. And then Zombies, I've never been into the zombie mode, so I didn't even try it.
Fucking contrarian.
It's not...
I don't even know why we keep them on,
it's
guys.
It's about what I like, not about being contrary.
Okay. Have you also noticed that what you like is opposed to everything else?
Yes, I have.
Okay. All right. And Bobby, you already said?
I probably check out Pit of Doom.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be at BlizzCon Friday and Saturday. So if anyone's I'm probably just going to be watching lots of Heroes of the Storm gameplay. But I'm going to do the rounds. It's really interesting because I've been playing so much WoW. So I'll probably spend some time over there checking out whatever they have on display. You know, whatever new content's coming up, they have it playable there. So that'll be cool. And then...
You take any pictures while you're there, Bobby?
Yeah, maybe I'll take a few.
Do you mind uploading them to
our new... I don't know.
I mean,
I only have a Pixel 2. It's not going to be amazing, man. I don't want to get shown up by all these Pixel 3 pictures.
Will you post those pictures on our Adventure tab?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, in our Discord Adventure tab.
Yeah, I drove across the country, and I took some pictures, and then I went to Cabo, took some pictures, and I was going to delete it, but Bobby's going to take an adventure without me, which is rude, but it is what it is. All right, speaking for Bobby, Chi, and myself.
The fuck?
Adventure.
No.
What?
Oh, Chi?
Oh, sorry.
You fuck.
Smoochy. Adventurous Cities, everyone.
Turn his mic off. God damn it. Such a dick.
Almost 5 years in the bank, Bobby.
Yeah, coming up.